17. Big Box Store. As it turned out, Distressa was an entirely effective deterrent simply by being present. She was kind enough to explain that the bandit groups wouldn't even try to attack a convoy she was with now after all the groups she'd killed down to the man. That made for a very quiet trip the remainder of the journey to the nearby human village. Donnybrook was what the gnomes transporting me had called it. I decided to look over my sheet and noticed I had gained 1,000 XP towards the next level from the two I got kills on. That was a lot of XP to me. Hey, Alfred, why did I get so much just from two kills?
Humanoids always give significant experience, sir. It is typically a tenth of the experience needed to go from the humanoid's previous level to their current. If they are half your level or less, you'll only get half. But if they are twice your level or more, you will get double. It is theoretically possible to gain a very large number of levels if you're able to kill a humanoid enemy that is significantly a higher level.
Interesting, but I doubt I'll be trying to pull that off. The risk-reward on that one doesn't appeal to me. It was pretty fascinating to see that crossing the border from gnomish territory into human territory was very distinct. It was as if a line was drawn between the two lands. Slight changes in the shade and color palette signified our transition into human lands. It was a very beautiful, if unnatural, thing to see.
Hey, Jack, we're almost to Donnybrook. You might want to wake your gnome friend up, yeah?
Distressa said and pointed towards Nick's curled-up form. Since he wasn't really in charge of anything or required to protect the caravan, he didn't need to stick around. He logged out to take care of some IRL stuff at home, he said, so I messaged him to let him know. Since we were in a game-recognized caravan, logging out left his character in the wagon. A few minutes later, Nick stirred and looked around.
We're close? How far?
He asked, since no civilization was visible.
We'll hit their farms in about 5 minutes, came the reply from Distressa. Another 10 to 15 of riding till we hit the gate after that.
Sure enough, her times were dead on. 5 minutes after she said that, we started seeing the worked fields of the Donnybrook farmlands. It was a beautiful scene of gently rolling, open terrain full of lush crops, just like you'd expect to see in an idyllic medieval fantasy setting. Honestly, it looked like it was all wheat. It was almost exactly 15 minutes later when we showed up at the gates of Donnybrook. The guards gave off a real, "We're not really planning on keeping you out, but we have to go through the motions anyway" vibe when they questioned us about our intent, destination, cargo, blah, blah, blah. It felt cheap in a game so detailed and vibrant, until it hit me that people in these sorts of jobs were like this in the real world. Everyone was trying to justify their paycheck. I tried to get into the small town feeling once we were through the gate and found a place to park the wagons, but there wasn't enough there. Donnybrook was just boring. I asked every fucking person I saw who had a trade skill to train with them. They were all around my level or lower in the skill. No one in this town had anything beyond basic understanding of the skills I was interested in. Instead, I settled for using the smelting equipment to refine some more of my ore I'd intentionally left unrefined, and then practicing some weaponsmithing on making more short swords. All the practice got both skills up to 10, which was a small blessing, I guess. The real gain in all of this was getting a contact in the city for someone I could go after immediately to start moving the iron. A guy by the name of Rowan apparently ran a shop that could deal in everything from the unique and unusual to mass volume sales like this. An uneventful stay and an uneventful second leg of the trip later, we finally found ourselves outside Corbinhold, the massive capital of the human realms. If you sat and made a list of all the cliches about pinnacle human cities in fantasy settings, this bad boy hit all your favorite high notes. With white stone walls polished smooth and impossibly high, a layout spread along a geographical feature called a hill but resembling a mountain, massive gates protecting a single entrance and protected by guards in shining armor catching sunlight just as well as the walls of the city, Corbinhold was the greatest structure in all of the realms. At the pinnacle of it all was the castle Andel, the seat of power in the human realms. It was clearly visible on approach, but as we closed in on the gates, it disappeared behind the colossal walls of the city proper.
Ho, travelers! Welcome to Corbinhold, safest and most beautiful city in all the realms. What brings you here this fine eve?
One of the guards greeted us as we approached. He seemed friendly and genuine, so I decided to return the kindness. There would be no benefit to lying to him about anything. Still, no reason to tell him everything. We're coming in from the gnomish realms, looking to make a new home and possibly create some trade agreements for our goods, I replied. The guard raised a single eyebrow at that. Even Distressa seemed to be suddenly interested in the conversation.
Oh? And what are you looking to sell with these agreements?
He asked, more curious than suspicious. Well, I'm looking to make a business of crafting in the city, whatever anyone needs, as well as setting up a contract to sell iron. Both guards' jaws dropped at the I word. Apparently the bad guy spiel I overheard regarding the humans being desperate was dead on.
If you've really got iron to sell, sir, you're about to become very popular. Unfortunately, unless you are a registered merchant, you cannot sell directly to the kingdom or direct through a storefront or stall, and that process can take months. Did you already have a contract to set up agreements with? I'm afraid your only option for now is to sell to a merchant who's already registered, he explained,
clearly hoping to help speed along my contract with the kingdom. I was told to see a guy named Rowan. He's supposed to be a merchant in the city, I said, wishing I'd gotten more information than a potentially common in a fantasy setting first name. The guards started shifting like the name made them slightly uncomfortable.
Oh, Crazy Rowan? Yeah, he's one of a kind, that one. We can get you to him.
The shop the guards directed us to was, well, massive. I expected at most a two-story, maybe 2,000 square feet. This was triple that, easily. Why would he need such a big building? Okay, guys, I said, turning to Nick and Distressa. I'm going to work on setting up the sales contracts with the guy if he pans out, but we need to start looking for somewhere to set up our base of operations. Nick, you'll have the best idea of our needs, so find something that can accommodate all of our skills, okay? Just don't finalize anything without me.
Sure, Jack. That shouldn't be a problem. My main concern is reinforcing it against my explosives. I'd hate to get kicked out of the city for leveling in neighborhood.
Your stuff could do that?
Distressa interjected with a raised eyebrow.
Well, possibly. If I got a ratio wrong, or if I put in too much mana too fast,
he stammered out. Oh no, his stutter comes back around women? Or maybe it's just strangers. This'll be rough. After sending off my friends with their instructions and a PM to Nick, encouraging him to not be too nervous around Distressa, I stepped into the shop. The man sitting behind the counter made me freeze mid-step and mid-word. I'd been trying to greet him until my brain tried processing him and just couldn't wrap around him. He looked to be in his late 40s, but obviously still very fit. And not fit for his age, just fit in general. His body language said he wasn't a threat, but could easily be one if needed. His eyes were kind and considerate, but also cold and calculating. The contradictions were too much for me to reconcile.
Hello, traveler. Welcome to...
He stopped mid-introduction as his eyes locked onto mine. I wanted to look away, but couldn't. It felt like he was staring at my soul, and I was powerless to stop him.
Ah, interesting, he continued.
The name is Rowan Vaughn, and it's a pleasure to meet you, lad. Honestly, I never thought I would ever again in this life meet another master of none. Now, what can I do for you, Jack?